Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guests a question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you, and it's Labor Day. Happy Labor Day. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning on the west coast of the USA, and it would be 1 o'clock over on the east coast, where they're bracing for a storm called Irma, another horrific hurricane that is alleged to be triangulated by HARP headed for the east coast. So let's hope that's not the case, where it's geoengineered. And also, we have Houston, and our prayers go out to Houston and all those people along the coast who are victims of Hurricane Harvey. And so lots and lots of horrible tragedies happening in the United States of America. And I hope you'll pray for us and pray for all the victims. And there are unprecedented wildfires that have never been seen in the USA in the city of Los Angeles. So lots and lots of things going on around the country and around the world. And it appears we need to think positive thoughts and put positive thoughts back into the universe, and put love back into the universe instead of all the hate that's coming out of the left regime, which includes Communist Party USA, Socialist Party, Liberal Party, Democrat Party, Snowflakes, Antifa, BLM, New World Order, CFR, secret societies, and so forth. We need to pray positive thoughts. We need to think positive thoughts. And we need to ask the higher power, which in my case is God, to smite the enemy and bring them to their knees, instead of them bringing the good people of the USA and around the world to their knees. So, happy Labor Day. That means that Labor Day is a day that we are blessed to have jobs. It doesn't mean that people are entitled to sit home if they're healthy physically and mentally and live off the taxpayers. As the Democrats call it now, not welfare, but an entitlement program, when indeed it is not an entitlement whatsoever, because the taxpayers have to work hard to support themselves and their families and the government and the prisons and so forth, and the nations around the world who need charitable financial support. And so no one who is healthy in mind, body, and spirit should be sitting at home not learning skills or attempting to find a job to contribute to our homeland. Because when there are too many people on welfare, I'm not going to call it entitlement. No one's entitled to anything that's earned by someone else. The government has also made it a entitlement program for themselves, especially in Congress. They believe they are entitled to premium health care. They believe they are entitled to a $12,000 kickback for health care. They believe that they're entitled to having their kids' college tuition paid by the taxpayers. They believe they're entitled to exempt themselves from paying into Social Security and IRA accounts, and that the American, they are entitled to force the American people to support them after retirement, even if it's only a year, and even if their net worth is $500 million or more for the rest of their lives, even if they are lawyers, business people, doctors, career-oriented people who have college degrees and can continue to work at other jobs after retirement from Congress. So we have a lot of people who believe they are entitled to whatever the majority of working Americans earn for themselves and their family, supporting the majority of the nation. Think about that. Well, today we're going to talk about vaccinations because Americans are being overly vaccinated, and under the ACA, which is also known as Obamacare, they have forced mandated vaccinations down our throats, mandated taxpayer-funded vaccinations, just like they forced mandated taxpayer-funded abortions down our throat and exempted themselves from being injected with a microchip with an excessive number of vaccinations against the will of the individual, trampling on their individual right of freedom of choice, which in my opinion is assault on one's body. Yet the Democrats and the rhinos state that women have a right to control their own body and abort their own babies by allowing a abortion doctor to stab them in the head with abortion scissors and kill their babies. But Americans don't have the right to say no and control their own body if they refuse a vaccination, a blood test, a urine test, or a vaccination, or a microchip. Seriously. Talk about hypocrites. So, in 2009, there were pending injury claims for the H1N1 vaccine that was excessively increasing. And the lawsuits began flooding the courts. And there are laws that the Supreme Court passed protecting Big Pharma from injury, from being held liable for injury after someone is vaccinated or died from their vaccinations, after touting them as 100% safe, too. And this article is from NCBI Resources, and it says, liability for the production and sale of vaccines. Potential liability for vaccine-related injuries has received much attention as a deterrent to vaccine manufacturing. A variety of approaches to the issue have been suggested, but there have been few attempts to determine the magnitude of the problem or to analyze basic trends in the interpretation of laws in this area. So, state of the law. Liability for injury resulting from vaccination is a matter of state law. Thus, there are potentially 51 different sets of rules on this subject in the United States. No vaccine-related product liability litigation resulting in a publicly available opinion has occurred in most jurisdictions, and in many there have been no liability litigation related to drugs. Although it is possible by extrapolation from other product liability cases to predict how these states would handle vaccine cases, any such extrapolation might prove inaccurate. The subject of product liability has become increasingly controversial over the past few years. Manufacturers have complained about the cost, the unpredictability of the law, and the unavailability and cost of insurance. a majority of states have enacted statutes relating to some aspect of product liability actions. Legislation at the federal level has been considered extensively, but has not been passed. A manufacturer who produces and sells a defective vaccine that creates a risk of significant injury to the recipient is liable to any person injured by the defect under the principle stated in Section 402A of the Restatement of Torts 2D3. This is thought to be the law in every American jurisdiction. The key portion of Section 402A states, one who sells any product in a defective condition unreasonably dangerous to the user or consumer or to his property is subject to liability for physical harm thereby caused to the ultimate user or consumer. The rule applies although the seller has exercised all possible care in the preparation and sale of the product. There are cases such as Griffin versus United States in which the United States government was held liable because the Division of Biology Standards of the National Institute of Health released a batch of Sabin polio vaccine that did not conform to its own regulatory standards. Grinnell versus Charles Pfizer and Company, in which the manufacturer was held liable for virulent particles in Salk-Kill virus vaccine. Four cases in which the manufacturers of quadrivalent vaccine for diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, and poliomyelitis were held liable because new preservative activated the pertussis component. Gottstanger versus Cutter Laboratories, in which live particles were found in Salk-Kill virus vaccine. Sandel versus State, in which pus was found in typhoid vaccine. So you see, manufacturers can produce vaccinations, apparently and factually, that are defective and can actually cause injury, thus the lawsuits are filed. But it also says a manufacturer is not liable for harm caused by a non-defective product due to its inherent or unavoidable dangerousness. So sometimes, apparently, they know that the vaccine is dangerous, but the person takes the vaccination anyway without knowing that it is dangerous, and the manufacturer is not held liable if it's a non-defective product. Thus, if a properly manufactured vaccine will cause harmful side effects in some portion of the recipient population, the manufacturer of the vaccine is not liable for those side effects. This principle is the subject of comment K to Section 402A. Unavoidably unsafe products. There are some products which, in the present state of human knowledge, are quite incapable of being made safe for the intended and ordinary use. These are especially common in the field of drugs. An outstanding example is the vaccine for the Pasteur treatment of rabies, which not uncommonly leads to very serious and damaging consequences when it is injected. Since the disease itself invariably leads to a dreadful death, both the marketing and the use of the vaccine are fully justified, notwithstanding the unavoidably high degree of risk they involve. Such a product, properly prepared and accompanied by proper directions and warning, is not defective, nor is it unreasonably dangerous. The same is true, but they're not saying it's not dangerous to some individuals or certain individuals. The same is true of many other drugs, vaccines, and the like, many of which, for this very reason, cannot legally be sold except to physicians or under the prescription of a physician. But there's still the percentage of adverse side effects and harm to certain people. And they wouldn't know that until they are either ingesting a drug or vaccinated. So it would be after the fact. The seller of such products, again with the qualification that they are properly prepared and marketed and proper warning is given where the situation calls for it, is not to be held to strict liability for unfortunate consequences, which could include death, attending their use merely because he has undertaken to supply the public with an apparently useful and desirable product, attended with a known but apparently reasonable risk. The qualification proper warning is given is critically important, and a manufacturer will be liable if he markets a drug or a vaccine with known risk and fails to warn of them. And it can be shown that the recipient would not have taken the drug or vaccine had he known of the risk. An example of the situation involving polio vaccine in Davis versus Wyeth Laboratories, 399F.2D121, 9th Circuit, 1968. In that case, Sabin polio vaccine had been administered to the plaintiff, a 39-year-old male, in a mass immunization campaign conducted with the assistance of a sales representative of the defendant. The plaintiff had developed polio. The Surgeon General had recommended that mass programs using Sabin type 3 be limited to children because of the risk of transmission of the disease to adult recipients. The mass immunization campaign involved in the case, however, included adults. The defendant's promotional materials failed to warn of the risk to adults, although the package insert did. The pharmacist who dispensed the oral vaccine did not read the package insert and did not warn the plaintiff of the risk. The duty to warn arises from the notion that the failure to inform consumers of dangerous aspects of a product, whether a prescription drug or vaccination, may render the product unreasonably dangerous. For instance, if an electric device operated in a certain way will blow up and cause harm to bystanders, a failure to warn the customer of the risk so that he can avoid the harm will make the manufacturer liable for the harm. Or in the Davis case, if the plaintiff had been warned of the risk, he could have chosen not to take the vaccine, as was then recommended in the case of adults. And this is the reason why I suggest strongly and urge strongly that Congress line veto mandated vaccinations or taxpayer funded mandated vaccinations from the Obamacare or ACA healthcare umbrella of laws, mandates, regulations, punishments, taxes that aren't taxes, fines, payments, all unconstitutional, but nonetheless, it's there. And people should be able to make a choice whether they want to be assaulted with a needle or ingest a prescription drug or be injected with a microchip that could also have adverse side effects to one's mental and physical body and mind, because it is a experimental program without long-term studies that could result, who knows, what sort of life and death or health risk to one's mental state or physical state should they be that person who is not capable of understanding that these adverse side effects could happen if an employer or the government or the police or law enforcers force people to be injected with a microchip. So if there's death, if there's chronic illness, if there's mental depression or homicidal tendencies or whatever else could come along that are not revealed to the population before accepting a microchip or a vaccination or a prescription drug, will the government be liable? Will the manufacturers be liable? Will the employers be liable? Will the police departments be liable? Will the doctors be liable? These are questions that need to be answered. The manufacturer's main line of defense at the trial was that the vaccine was not the cause of the disease. Experts testified that virus isolated from a specimen of the child's stool taken on the day after she admitted to the hospital was probably wild, naturally occurring, and not the same strain as the vaccine. The injury found, however, that the vaccine was the cause of the child's disease and found for the plaintiff under the district court's instructions. But once this is done to Americans by force, the damage could already be done. And what if the damage can't be undone? So on that note, I want to give you that information to think about before the government mandates microchips be inserted into our bodies with no long-term studies and using us as guinea pigs, or forcing Americans to take vaccinations that could be defective or could have harmful side effects to the mind, body, and spirit of an individual, as well as prescription drugs. Time to wake up and question your government, Big Pharma, the DOJ, and your congressman.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
That's right. Columbo Chronicles Live does not want to have to send the familia to your home to make sure that you're listening. And listen every Wednesday from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. And that is on the West Coast. And
listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. Listening is an art that humans are losing to the world of robots. Robots don't have any tone or human feelings. The addiction to communicate by texting isn't going away. People are feeling isolated, lonely, frustrated. People need people willing to listen to them. Can you imagine getting a text message that read, "You're fired," or "Hi, would you marry me?" It is happening. Columbo Chronicles is the option and the answer to human communication. Colombo Chronicles provides email access to your ideas and issues. Take advantage of this opportunity now. Go to ColomboChronicles.com. Click on subscribe today. Colombo is spelled C-O-L-O-M-B-O Chronicles. Fill out the form, submit it, bookmark and subscribe today. Remember the name, ColomboChronicles.com.
That's right, ColomboChronicles.com. And that's where you can check out my background, you can check out the laws I've proposed, and you can sign up, as well as check out the books that I've written, which were featured worldwide online and in magazines, in newspapers, and on local and major radio stations. Well, let's get back to vaccinations. There was an article that stated, pending injury claims over 2009 H1N1 vaccine increase. And this was written September 15, 2010 by Robert Roos. And it says that the number of people who intended to submit claims that they were harmed by the 2009 H1N1 influenza vaccine has grown to 275 in recent months. But the procedures for processing the claims have not yet been fully worked out, according to the United States Department of Health and Human Sources. The Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, CICP, had received 275 letters of intent to file claims about injuries related to the pandemic flu vaccines as of September 13th, up from 106 in mid-March, reported Dr. Vito Caserta. He's an MD and an MPH director of the CICP in the Health Resources and Services Administration. So the fact that the lawsuits have been like swept away under the carpet when it comes to vaccinations is very, very important, because if you recall back in 2009, Kathleen Sebelius and Obama called that a pandemic of swine flu, which proved to be there was no pandemic, and attempted to force every American to be vaccinated. Why would they do that? And there were people who worked in hospitals, medical staff, who were fired from their jobs because they refused to get the untested, no long-term study of a chemical-laden vaccination that they did not consent to. So this is why it's very serious to know what they're injecting into your body, because if you aren't going to question the doctor or a law enforcer or the government who exempts themselves from the same treatment, what is in the vaccination, what is in the prescription drug, what are the adverse side effects, and be allowed to make your own personal decision about anyone assaulting your body without your consent, then this means that the Constitution, like Obama said, is meaningless. So that is food for thought, and hopefully you'll think about it and do some homework and research, and God bless America, God help America, because not enough people are asking questions, and they are being sheeple, and they are being injected with vaccinations and prescription drugs they know nothing about, and microchips.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics, from politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up, Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc, Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Rose Columbo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Columbo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Columbo Chronicles.